Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Friends, it is SCA season, and everybody went to SCA but us. That's it.
Which is it, was it a boycott, or why didn't we even go?
We're just boycotting the SCA.
Dude, boycotting. That was dumb. Sorry, folks.
Lots of FOMO. We missed a lot of people, and seeing all the photos and Instagram stories and posts was not fun at all.
No.
You just feel like you're like not even with the cool kids, like
I actually
not being invited to that party that you should have been. Like
I had FOMO for multiple reasons. One, I'm not going to dive into this. Folks that know, they know I had to drop out of Nationals for Tasters. If I would have not dropped out of Nationals, and if I would have won at Nationals, right? I mean, these are all big ifs. I mean, I was decent. Like, I had a good run in Tasters. But if I would have won, I would have been at Worlds in Chicago at SCA. So, like, that side of FOMO is like, oh, what if watching the competition stuff like that? Like, oh, you know. And then Brewers also is like, man, that's wild. Or not Brewers. Sorry. That was my apologies. Like, all the other competitions that were there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of that, like, yeah, like you said, seeing all our friends. My FOMO got so bad that, I was always on Instagram, always talking about basically what was happening. Like, I was just talking to Maddie about what was happening, and she made me delete the app. She's like, it's too much. Not made me, but you know, I had to delete the IG app because of so much FOMO of not being at SCA.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
Miss y'all.
What a bummer. What a bummer. Well, who knows? Maybe next year. I think we were just on the website.
Next year's in Houston.
Yeah.
Which is I don't know. I don't want to go.
But might be a good reason for to go down to Houston, because I don't know why else I would go down there. Yeah. So
last time I was in Houston was comp.
Might not be a terrible idea. But yeah. That being said, some batchy. Cheers to not going to big cool parties with the cool kids.
With like 20,000 friends. Did you see Chris what's his face? Post saying like, "Oh, I had fun, you know, me hanging out with all my 20,000 friends and not eating a lot of food because I was over caffeinated half the time."
Of course. Like, dude, nice. That's like everybody's experience. It's like
everybody. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Little blend. This didn't taste as good as, do you think this is too bright?
No, I think it's just like, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't taste like an even extraction. Like, there are parts of my mouth that are like drying out, and then parts that are like too bright. And I don't really.
Of course.
I don't know.
Ethiopian coffee and a Colombian coffee ground on the same grind size. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, there's still like some flavor.
Yeah.
You can definitely taste the two coffees.
Yeah.
Because I know what they taste like individually. But yeah, that's kind of my only downside. It's just like, I don't know if this is like bitter and dry or.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The batch I had this morning. Excellent. Iconic. I mean, it was so good. It was tasty. Mm-hmm. And then the user experience with Ratio's new carafe.
Dude, that freaking carafe. I swear, Ratio. It's about time.
It's about time.
And you copped one already. Yeah. Snagged one.
I mean, no, I did not get it. I did not buy it. I was gifted the owners of Ratio.
Wow.
Thank you.
Lovely. Tell me about this new craft. Is it lighter, heavier, bulkier, thinner, or is it just
the
spout?
The shape is almost the same. Adjustment? The lid is different. I like the lid. It's more. It's like a little sleeker. It sets into the craft. The spout is a little different. Nice. I still have one critique. I think the spout could have been a little pointier. It's a little too round.
Okay.
And then the edge of the spout should have at least had like there's still a trim on the edge of the spout. It hasn't caused a problem when I was pouring, but I was like, would it have been better if it didn't have that? I don't know. Maybe I know nothing. Maybe they put in high tech engineering into understanding spouts. That's just me. So
that
it poured really well. Wow, it just poured really well. Yeah. I'm just no engineer. I'm wondering why. I'm just looking at the spout and I'm like, why not cut it to the edge? Like, well, why is there like, I guess this one has, well, you see how it has that little bit of a lip?
Yeah.
But this spout on the Breville is way sharper.
It's nice. I like it.
Yeah, I do. I like pouring out of this. It's pretty powerful. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Also, like, you know how this little bulb thing that kind of enables the water to drain? Like, of course, ratio doesn't work the same way, but I like that it's completely flat. It looks cool. The craft.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like the updated craft for sure.
One thing I don't like about the Ratio Craft, at least the old one, is that the cover on it is kind of like a, it's kind of like a dome.
Right.
And this might sound like very small detail, but it's not really uncomfortable. It's not very comfortable to like take off.
Right.
You know, like this is like, this has like this thing that you can just turn and then it comes off.
Yeah,
you turn this and there's like a grip, there's something to hold on to. There almost feels like you literally have to like grip the dome, which is already round and sleek, right? And it's beautiful. Yeah. But it's like, I'm like,
you have to palm it like a basketball.
Yeah. Exactly. Did they change that or no?
Yeah, there's a little it's almost, you know how the lid on the back of the Ratio where you pour the water in?
Yes.
It's similar to that.
So it's got like a little,
yeah,
nice,
like a little handle. Nice. I like it a lot. That was a great move. Yeah,
that's exceptional. Sure. I'm glad, because just those two things, like the fact that it pours better,
yeah,
and now it has like an updated lid for it to be easier to take off. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah,
it was solid.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't. Again, I'm not a manufacturer. I'm not an engineer, but I'm like, guys, why didn't we just do this like
from day one?
Like, why didn't you just like give this carafe to like 100 people and say use the heck out of it?
Yeah.
And then like come back 5 months later and be like, yo, what'd you guys think? Somebody's gonna be like, dude, the spout sucks.
Yeah,
man. I have to basketball palm the lid to take it off, and it'd be like, oh, interesting. You could just add like, you know, like,
yeah, totally.
I don't know. I'm also not an engineer or a product designer, so who am I to say anything? But just speaking for the people out here.
So that was exciting, because Garrett from Perfect Coffee Water stopped by the cafe and we were chatting, and he was like, "Oh, I'm gonna head out to SCA," and next day he's like, "Is there anything that you saw that you wanted to cop?" And that was the first thing that came to my mind. It's like, I want the new Ratio Craft.
Yeah.
So he was like super kind and generous to hang out with the owners and then be like, "Yo, do you have a carafe?" And they hooked me up for free. Not a dime.
Yeah, let's
go. So thankful. Yeah.
Saved $75.
Is it $75?
Is
that what it is?
Maybe.
I was like, dang.
Don't quote me. Maybe I'm wrong.
Wild.
I think it's something like that. $50 or $75. So
I mean, I guess makes sense. If you get like the little fellow glass thing is like $30. Yeah. So it makes sense.
The fellow glass thing?
Right? The for V60s. Or for pour overs.
Like, oh, the carafe.
The carafe. Yeah.
That's true. Dang.
So $70,
that's expensive.
It is expensive.
Like for a glass carat, like, not say that, hey, I mean, I love that thing. I don't have one. I know you have one, but it's nice.
Yeah. And it hasn't broke.
But it's like,
yeah, totally.
So I guess that's fair. But, I think speaking of batch brewers, the big one that kind of, I think, is stealing the show right now. I don't know. We might be biased because we're friends of the batchy.
Yeah.
But Fellows Aiden Batch Brew.
Let's go.
Is kind of, I have mixed feelings. I'll tell you that. I have mixed feelings. I'm stoked for it. It's nice when Fellow has a really nice track record.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with everything, but like 90% of things.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. But yeah, before we get into nitty gritty, any thoughts right off the bat? Like first impressions.
My first impression, it reminded me of the Bellwether Roaster.
Damn. That does not make me feel good.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I will not unsee that now. I will not unsee
that. It looks like a Bellwether.
It does.
Roaster.
It does.
God. But I am biased. I've always liked Fellow's design.
Yeah.
It's hard to not like it.
That was gonna be my question is, what do you think about their overall design language? Because I think they have a really I'll give them this. It's a very dialed design language. Like when you see a product and you're like, oh, that's probably a fellow product.
Yeah. Well, what sticks out in the design to you as a fellow product?
I think there's this, like, for me personally, there's like the interesting juxtaposition of like rounded corners, rounded, like this body shape, but also paired with very boxy shapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you have the EKG stag is this like rounded, cool looking thing, but then it has that strong, bulky, like
it has a lot squares of
base. Or you're talking about like their, the Ode, like big round dial, but slapped onto literally like a cube where I don't know what it is, but their edges are like very refined.
It's very geometrical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Geometrical.
Yep.
Yeah. What else do they have? Yeah. I mean, even their scale, isn't a perfect square, just corners.
Yeah. I realized that they have the most expensive scale on the market, supposedly.
What?
Yeah. Fact check me.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure. I was just talking to someone. More expensive than the Pearl. The Pearl is like under 200. There's over 200.
The dang.
Yeah. But I think the main thing about fellow design that always grabs my attention is you're right. They have very geometrical shapes and also the round sleekness. Mm-hmm. But I always think of fellow when I see the dial. Mm-hmm. It's the dial. The dial on the Ode, the dial on the kettles, the dial on this batch brewer, it's just iconic. So for me, that was that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, sick, the dial. And then the little screen that they have that's very similar to the kettle screen from a design perspective. I think their cohesiveness between products, even like you're scrolling right now and I'm looking at the Carter mugs, that cohesiveness throughout all the whole product line is excellent.
Absolutely
iconic.
It's really dialed. I mean, especially when you can you know, build a design language. And again, neither Sergio and I are designers, but just an observation from maybe a creative background. When you can build something that you can create and implement into a mug, like an everyday mug, simultaneously with like a piece of gear, it's kind of impressive.
Yeah, so, I agree.
That being said, their Aiden also follows like a very similar design language. It's got the big round, you know, round button, a round carafe, around their round screen that's like similar to what you see on the EKG. But this screen looks much better. Mm-hmm. But it looks very boxy, the overall batch brewer. And it looks, I don't know, just from photos, it looks a little too bulky for me, and I kind of don't like that.
I think the
like,
first thing you said,
it's kind of big. I'm concerned if it's gonna fit on, you know, like very cleanly, simply onto a counter, or am I gonna have to move some things around?
Right.
Is the toaster gonna have to go?
Yeah, fair.
Do you choose everyday bagels toasted to perfection, or do you choose a slamming
the problem like, that's the real question. If your toaster is a Breville toaster and you have that standard night, like you've got a problem, you've got a brand issue situation. There,
this fellow needs to drop a toaster. Dude, would you buy a fellow toaster?
I would, hands down. You know that the fellow toaster is gonna
be two.
You know the fellow toaster is gonna look like the Ode, or Ode, you know that. It has to stand right next to the Ode. I mean, you actually, fellow, if you're designing a toaster, make sure that you line up the products on a counter, and height wise, the toaster has to fit snugly, like almost like in a compartment by the Ode.
Yes.
Because I want to make sure that my bagels are being toasted while my coffee is being ground.
That's lovely. Yeah. That's incredible. But other than, man, this Aiden's taking up too much time. it's just so good.
That's a great product.
But we haven't used it. Apparently, it's dropping in the fall, and it looks like it has a ton of modularity. Like we're talking, I love, just from the little bit that I've seen, I love that it's a one button push. You can get a great brew. Mm-hmm. But then also, if you really wanted to, there's like deep in two settings of like temperature of water, even different within the recipe and mm-hmm. Dosing and all this stuff that you can program to get it exactly to how you want it to. Yeah. And even the shower head is adjustable, mm-hmm. which I'm like, it actually makes a lot of sense
yep.
for you to do that. And it's not rocket science either. It's yeah. just like a thing that you turn that covers up some of the holes and opens up another one. Yeah, like totally. It actually, it's very logical.
Yeah.
So
I'm really curious on heat retention in the basket, because you know that's always been yeah. a big thing with the Breville Precision Brewer yeah. that it kind of like swallows up a lot of heat.
Yeah.
And the ratio actually keeping a lot of heat in the slurry. That was like the big, that's yeah. what made extraction so well. Also, I am curious to see how water distribution with that shower head works, mm-hmm. because on the ratio, it's like, dude, the bed is as flat can be almost every yeah. single time, you know, it's, yeah. it's looking tasty and it's tasty. Yeah,
100%. Like,
so I'm curious about that in comparison to the ratio yeah. for sure.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've seen, it seems like they put like a rubber seal in there. So when the cover comes down over the basket,
oh nice,
it's like it's tight like yeah. very airtight, yeah. you know, so it's yeah. gonna yeah. do but a decent
it's more
job
or less how
so
much we'll materials yeah. are in there, you know.
Yeah.
That's why you see a lot of these baskets are like plastic,
mm-hmm.
and the basket on the Precision Brewer here, it has just a lot of materials, mm-hmm. and if there's a lot of materials, they're vacuums, they're gonna suck heat.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. We'll see. We reached out to Fellow. Hopefully they respond back.
Yeah.
Nice. With you know, with a little treat, a gift for the pod. That way we can do a review and have a stellar, you know, batch brewer for the pod.
Well, it's so. Time. I mean, we can easily create a line. It's like, folks, we're enjoying this batch brew brought to you by our friends at Fellow Brewing via the Aiden. Like
we can't give him that much love. Come on.
Not yet. I'm saying that would be a nice line. Yeah. Like, you know, nice opener, yeah. like with the jingle. You know?
Exactly. That being said, the other one last product I think that kind of stole the show as well, or mm-hmm. generated a lot of buzz thanks to their probably pretty decent marketing team.
Yeah. Fine grinding, folks.
La Marzocco, the Swan.
Yeah.
The Swan. Fine grinding is there. Yeah. You don't like that motto, but I kind of
I don't.
I like
too
it.
Cheesy.
I like that
it's
a little
espresso
cheesy.
Grinder
it's like,
talking about fine
it's like,
grinding.
It's like clever. It's like
kind of. It's the same thing as when you're a regular.
It's kind of clever.
No.
It's kind of like gives me Nespresso vibes. You know, like something you'd see.
Nespresso?
Ness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
like
you
something
see,
you'd
did,
see on an ad.
Side note. Did you see the David Beckham commercial with Nespresso?
Maybe.
No, you need to see it. It just came out recently.
Just came out. Okay, no, yeah. I haven't. No.
It's great. It's great. Can I give a teaser? Folks?
No, no.
Okay,
no
teaser. No. Just go watch the
I need to watch this unfiltered, unbiased.
Yeah. David Beckham Nespresso. Anyway, yeah. I was gonna say, I don't like fine grinding because it kinda reminds me of when someone walks into the cafe in the morning and is like, "Hey, how's it going?" No, rise and grind, baby. Rise and grind.
Every time I walk into the cafe, I'm forever going to say that. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, rise and grind,
worst.
Rise
no,
and
it's,
grind.
It's the worst, dude.
Why?
Just, dude, how's the day going? Dude, just grinding it out, man.
Rise and grind, baby.
Come no, on. No, but no. It's so cheesy, and I don't like the fine grinding thing. It's just...
I'm kind of mad right now.
It's so cheesy. I need some wine with that, dude.
I can't believe you'd say that. Wow.
It's awful.
That being said, so it's a new espresso grinder from La Marzocco. I'm sure most of you have heard. The crazy thing is, I actually, like when they released it, I was like, wait, do they not have another espresso grinder?
I have the Jolly Pro, right?
Okay.
I think that's kind of, it's not
it's
very
like,
popular.
It's
yeah.
It's a
Mazer.
Yeah. But it's branded under Mazer. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's sold via La Marzocco. I don't know if La Marzocco, I'm not sure if La Marzocco owns
Mazer.
It
was just
or
weird. Cause I was like, I looked at it and I'm like, wait, they don't have like, you'd expect that they would already mm-hmm. have like a decent line. So I think from a business perspective, just growing, it kind of makes sense to have a stellar grinder line. along with a stellar machine. Like, yeah. Kind of like you have your, you know, Simonelli
with Victoria Arduino.
Like, exactly. It makes sense. I think Malconing is kind of the only one that.
Yeah, exclusively.
Which, from that perspective, I'm like, great. Makes sense. But
which, to me, now the concern is, didn't they recently release a partnership where the Malconing has a sink?
Yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Like, and then this grinder doesn't like have a sink.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm already leaning towards Malconing, just because if we're talking about, like, kind of new technology and finding a grinder that syncs with your espresso machine. So, whatever happened to that? I don't know. Was there any development on that? Did it work? Mm-hmm. Or people using it? I don't know. I haven't heard much about that after it was released. We talked about it on our episode.
I'm not sure. But yeah, it's interesting. It's a very unique, interesting design. I feel like if you were to walk into a cafe, you would very quickly spot it.
Yeah.
It's not quite as sleek and seamless.
Yeah.
It's boxy. It's edgy. Gives me a lot of the, like you said, the KB90 vibes.
Yep.
It looks a little too toy-like to me.
Yeah, it looks like a Lego piece for sure.
Yeah, like a Lego. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like the design of it, honestly. But I also felt the same way about the KB90. Mm-hmm. When the KB90 dropped, I was like, I don't know if I'm a fan of these lines and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do like the design of the Lineas.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's great. Lineas look great. I actually like the design of the Lineas over Stratas, hands down.
Yeah.
I just think KB90 has way too many lines and is way too edgy. But I think the main thing is, like, it's called the Swan, but to me, when I see it, it reminds me of a crane.
Of a crane?
Crane. Crane, like, is also a swan-like animal, right?
Bird.
Yeah, the bird. It reminds me more of a crane. I don't know why, folks. That's just what pops into my mind.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about the design is the buttons.
Yep. That's fair.
They look great. I love the iconic buttons on the Linea. Mm-hmm. So those buttons, like, hit home for me. I don't like the funnel. Again.
The hopper, the funnel, and the hopper.
I don't like the hopper either. My main concern is the hopper's angles and the design on that, because it'll hold coffee, obviously, in the deepest part and the widest part. That means in that top little sliver, like kind of the panhandle or whatever, that little sliver on top, it's not going to hold a lot of coffee. So I don't know what the volume is, but I'm thinking is how many times a shift, depending on the volume of your cafe,
right,
that you're going to be refilling that hopper. So I don't know. That's my concern from looking at the hopper. I'm like, is it big enough?
Right.
And are there bigger hoppers? So
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So a few things, I think two big things, 83 millimeter conical burrs.
Conical.
And... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not grind by weight, grind by revolution.
Yeah.
Of the burrs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of just an interesting 83 millimeter conical, I thought was kind of an interesting take.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I heard that and I was like,
I don't know.
It's kind of interesting. Like, most of these grinders, like the E65 GBWs, E80s. Now they, Malconing, I think, just at this SCA did E80s with grind by weight.
Makes sense.
Which is epic. Great. Because 80 millimeter flat burrs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Most really powerful grinders for this market are flat burrs. So I'm curious why they went with the conical.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, and I don't know how that's going to reflect flavor wise. I don't know. Depends on who you ask. Usually people lean towards flat burrs. It's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
But that being said, also, I think that has something to do with their grind by revolution. Because I feel like grind by revolution with conical might be, like, that might actually make sense to do. I'm not an engineer, but I feel like that's probably why they went with conical, because you wouldn't be able to quite do that as easily with flat burrs. Because from what I remember, only one part of the conical burr is moving. That means you only have to spin just one core piece, and then you can actually literally calculate how many revolutions it's making. So I know you're not a huge fan of that concept.
No,
I think I am. I think I I think it makes sense to me, especially since the video I saw said you can calculate it to like 0.1 of a, like, I don't know, 0.1 of a revolution or something.
Yep.
So you can like, you can dial in the revolution very finely,
yeah,
to get exactly consistently how much weight you want. The only downside is that I feel like depending on how your beans are being fed into the burrs, if your hopper's completely full all the time and you have a consistent push down on the burrs, then revolutions make sense. But if you have, I don't know, somewhere maybe the beans don't quite fall in as nicely in there, your revolution will you'll reach a revolution without grinding
all the beans. Well, supposedly they fixed that with like this constant burr speed adjustment. So they thought about that, supposedly. Okay. My problem with revolutions is not that they can't adjust that. The reality is between your burrs and your portafilter, there's a lot of stuff. And depending on how clean your grinder is, mm-hmm, like throughout the shift, I'm not saying even if you clean it every day, you're not taking apart the grinder after every rush.
Yeah, right.
So if there's retention at any point, that's going to affect the weight that goes into your portafilter, right? Or am I wrong?
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't make sense for me to measure.
Calculating a step earlier.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense for me to measure the amount of coffee out like a few steps behind the portafilter. I want it to measure what's in my portafilter.
Yeah.
Not what it's grinding.
Literally the moment before, right when you're literally about to take it out.
And that's why like things like even the thing is like saying that, oh, you know, it has this buttonless like sensor for the portafilter. And I'm like, yeah, that's called a scale.
Yeah.
You set a scale on the GB and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a, or you set the portafilter on scale and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a portafilter.
Yeah.
Sick. It's buttonless. It's a scale. It's a sensor. So, and I'm like, yeah, I am very curious as to why avoid the scales. Yeah. Like, I want to know why. And I'm obviously, because I don't know why, I have a preconceived idea of like why I don't like it.
Well, I guess we won't know until some folks get it into the cafe, which
Dayglow had it. I guess they're in SEA. Yeah. Yep.
I think it's going to be interesting. I'd love to walk into a cafe and be pleasantly surprised with the Swans in there.
Yeah.
Just for, you know,
kicks.
For kicks. Yeah. It's kind of like walking in and seeing a mod bar. It's sometimes like, oh, well, make those.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it does have a smaller footprint than the, it's a 83 millimeter burr set versus a 80 on the GB, whatever, the Malconing E80s. Yeah. So it's a slightly bigger burr set, but it takes up less space on the counter.
Interesting.
Like,
Well, I think that's kind of a wrap. Kind of the three main things that are more relevant to us. Then I'm sure there was plenty of other stuff that got dropped.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of bummed that we weren't able to go, but maybe another year.
Totally.
So, any last words?
No, yeah, for sure. Always like going to SCA. Like sometimes it just doesn't seem as practical. Like this year it didn't seem as practical. Last year was cool that it was Portland and we drove down and saw the squad.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Recorded some podcasts.
Yeah.
This year missed the squad. But regardless, it's always fun to see things like these be like dropped during an expo like that, especially new tech, new gear, and all of the good stuff that you get at expo.
Just,
you know, it sucks to look at it from home, from the screen.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Like,
Cool. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm-Up Sessions podcast. Hopefully, you guys all had a ton of fun, those of you who went. But, as we always say, remember, reflect what's good.